63. When you found your place, we can stand there. I sing while they were singing. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. And I'm thankful that we can find it. The Bible said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that find it. And I'm thankful I found the narrow way this evening. Or it found me, however all that worked out. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know I'm on it. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful to know that this evening. Psalm chapter 63. When you found your place, let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the chapter, pray, and then you can be seated. But I want to give you what the Lord's put on my heart since last week for this evening. And we'll give it to you and then be done this evening. The Bible said in Psalm chapter 63, in verse number 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Father, this evening, I want to say thank You, Lord, for the ability we've had to come to church, Lord, and to sing about You and to worship You this evening. God, the songs have helped me and stirred my heart. God, I'm thankful we can know more about You, God, and there's always more to learn, always more to know. God, it's all been good and it's all been great what we've learned so far, Lord, and I pray this evening that You would open our eyes even farther, Lord, to the truths of Your Word. God, I pray that You'd help me to convey the message that You would have conveyed this evening, the words and the ideas and the thoughts, Lord, that You would have the congregation to go home with. God, I pray that for a few minutes tonight, we'd open our minds and open our hearts, Lord, to hear from You. God, would You speak through me and speak to the congregation this evening? God, I pray for the pastor this evening. He's away. God, that You would touch him and fill him with power as he preaches this evening. We'll be careful to thank You for it. Thank You for what You've already done, Lord. And we ask this all in Your precious name. Amen. You can be seated. When we begin to look at this chapter this evening, I want you to think of me very quickly, first of all, by way of introduction, about David's Lord. As the Bible said in verse number 1, that David is talking here, and David is having a conversation with the Lord about the Lord. He said, Oh God, Thou art my God. And David begins the chapter talking about the Lord, and that's always a great way to begin any chapter, is talking about the Lord. But David is very specific here in what he has to say to God, and we'll talk about that a little later. But David said, Oh God, Thou art my God. That David's Lord is the first thing we come across this chapter. But then I begin to find David's longing as David begins to describe a little bit more about the feelings of his soul. The Bible said, Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. When we begin to think about David's Lord, we begin to move past that to his longing. David is not just God a Lord, but David is longing to be with Him. David is longing for His presence, and David is longing to be in His vicinity. David wants to be with his Lord. But really what I'm interested in is what we find in verse number 2 is David's location. The Bible said this, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. And we begin to look at Psalm 63 as a whole, you're going to find several different places that David identifies as being in. You'll find in the heading of our chapter in verse in chapter 63, you'll find that David is in a wilderness place. As the heading of this chapter tells us that this is a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And you begin to study and begin to mine into the chapter, and you'll find this was written while David is on the run. We don't know for sure which time it's written during, but it's either written at the beginning of his life when he's on the run from Saul, or it's written towards the end of his life when he's on the run from Absalom. But David here, writing this psalm, is in a wilderness place. He's in the wilderness of Judah, and that speaks to us of the solitude that David is experiencing as he is writing this psalm, as he is thinking about and longing for his God here. But he's in a wandering place. As the Bible said in verse number 9, that those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go in to the lower parts of the earth. And what we're reminded of here is that David is not out here on vacation. David is not out here to see the sights. And David is not a tourist. But David has men who are actively trying to take his life. David has men who are hunting for his soul. And you begin to go back into the book of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and read about the caves and the pits and the woods and the forests that David would begin to hide in. It was lonely places. It was deserted places. It was places where men who were robbers and men who were highwaymen come and hide out in those places. There's a places that David is in when he is writing this psalm. This is the kind of places David is spending time in. But it speaks of a struggle. David has enemies. David has men who would rather him be dead than alive. David has enemies here in our chapter. But I'm really interested in verse number 2 when the Bible says that he says, I've seen thee in the sanctuary. And what's interesting to me about that is David is looking back on a time when he was at the sanctuary. David is looking back to a time when he can remember being in church. David is looking back to a time when he can remember being where God's power was, where God's presence was. But David is now isolated from that. He is in a wilderness place. He's in a wandering place. But David is in a wishful place. He wishes he could go back the way it used to be. And he wishes he could go back to the places he had been before. David is the man who has spent much time at the tabernacle. David has spent much time singing at the tabernacle, preaching, teaching, whatever the case may be. He talked about, I quoted earlier, entering into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. David was a man who was familiar with the tabernacle, but now the tabernacle is gone. And David is looking back from the wilderness, and David is looking back from his wanderings and saying, I wish I could go back to the way it was when I was at the sanctuary. It speaks of his search. David is looking back to something that had been. David is looking back to a place he used to be. David is beginning to open up his heart and show us his desires and show us what he longs for, what the man after God's own heart would desire in a situation like this. David's desire is for God's presence. He said, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. David is not looking for protection. David is not looking for provision. He's not asking for riches. He's not asking for a safe place to go and hide. David is solely concerned with finding God's presence. And David solely concerned with getting where God is. David said, early will I seek thee. His desires for God's presence. But David's desires for God's power. He said in verse number 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. God, David wanted to see God's power, but David's desire was for God's past dealings. He said, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth, my flesh longeth to see your power and glory, as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Everything David is longing for, he has experienced at one time. He remembers a time when he can look back and he was there at the tabernacle and he saw God's power and he saw God's glory. He saw the Shekinah glory of God, the priest going in and ministering there in the temple, but the tabernacle. But David is now isolated from that. David has gone away, and the God that David longed for so badly, he had seen before. The power that David wanted to see again, he's already experienced it once. And the glory that David wanted to worship, he had seen it before. But now God has brought David to a place that is removed from all of that. God has brought David to a wilderness place. God has brought David to a place of wandering where there's enemies on every hand. But God has brought David to a wishful place where he wishes more than anything else he could be back the way it was at the tabernacle. God has put David in a place where there are enemies who are attacking him and fighting him, and David can't get back to the tabernacle like he wants to. The attention that he would love to spend worshiping God and the time that he would love to spend devoted to God or writing a psalm or singing his praises is now holding a sword, and he's now fighting off enemies, and he's now on the run, regardless of how much he would love to be back home at the tabernacle. The time that he would spend in the sanctuary, he now has to spend in hiding and in solitude. The effort he would love to pour towards worship has now got to be put towards war. And David is trying to learn how to cope with it. God has put David in a wishful place where he longs to meet with God, but the pressures and the situations of life have removed him from that place, from that sanctuary. He longs for companionship, and it seems that he couldn't get back to where God was. The places of life and the perils of life and even God's plan for his life have pulled him away from the sanctuary where he wants to be, Brother Dan. He wants to see God's power. He wants to see God's glory, but he can't get back to the way it used to be. He's longing for the way things were before life got chaotic. He's longing for the way he experienced God's presence at the sanctuary before he had to run, but everything happening in his life is pulling him away from God. David wanted God, but it seemed like he just couldn't get close to him. And I want to preach tonight on that thought for just a minute. When you can't get close to God, when God is not close. Because David has every desire in the world to be back in the sanctuary, to be back at the tabernacle, to see God's power and to see God's glory and to be right where he's supposed to be. But God has pulled him away and God has led him in a different direction. And now David is in a wilderness place instead of the tabernacle. Now David is wandering. There's enemies all around who are trying to take his life, and he would love to be worshiping, but now he's having to fight in battle, and he would love to be writing psalms, but now he's having to flee for his life. David can't get close to God. And it seems that way so often that there's times I can look back to and see where God was close. And maybe it was on a Sunday service this past Sunday when God met with us and God moved and God was real. But boy, come Monday, it seems like we're right back to the wilderness. And it seems like come Monday, the enemy is popping his head up again. It seems like come Monday, I just wish I could get back to the way it was back on Sunday. Isn't that the way life works? Because God's plan for our lives to not always spend our whole life in the sanctuary. God's got to send us back out to the wilderness. God had a plan for David. God had a plan and a design for David there in the wilderness. David wanted to get back to the sanctuary where God was, and he just couldn't make it. And because of the pressures and the perils of normal everyday life, it seems so many times that I love to live for God, but it seems like things pulling me away. I'd love to do what God would have me to do today. I'd love to be close to Him, but it seems like I've got to get all these things done. I've got the checklist. It's got to be met. The boss is snapping his fingers, this, that, and the other. I can't get it all done and serve God at the same time. David said, oh, that I could find Him. Oh, that I could go back to the sanctuary where I was close to Him. But that wasn't God's plan for his life. So how did David manage when he couldn't get close to God? I want you to think of me, first of all, about this, what David did. David did in the wilderness when he couldn't get close to God. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, O God, Thou art my God. So what did David do? David claimed God. And you say that's odd to say. It's maybe obvious to look at. But David here begins to say something pretty special when he opens up this chapter. He said, O God, Thou art my God. David is claiming God. David is going to make one thing clear right from the beginning, that this God that he's been serving is his God. It's not the God of everybody else around him. David is happy for that, but David is concerned about himself personally. And the God that he has been serving all his life is his God. And David will use a couple different words when he describes God here in this verse. The first time is the very second word, O God. That is the word Elohim. That's the most common name for God in the Old Testament. It's the most common and the most referred to name. It is the Elohim is the God who created in Genesis 1:1. And Elohim is the God who gave Abraham and Sarah a child in Genesis 21. Elohim is the God whose terror came upon the cities round about Jacob and they did not pursue him. Elohim, the God that David is speaking to, is the God of Joseph who meant it all for good. Elohim was the God of David's grandmother Ruth when she said, Thou, that God will be my God. Elohim was the God of Jacob and the God of Job and the God of Gideon and the God of Samson. Elohim was the God who had provided in the past. And Elohim was the God who had been faithful in the past. And Elohim was the God who had come through in the past. And David is looking at that God. He's saying, That God that was good back then and that God that was good to my grandfather and that God that was good to my grandmother, that God is my God. David said, the same one who was good to my grandmother Ruth, that God is my God. David said, the same one who spoke to Moses out of a burning bush, that's the God that I'm serving. The same God that led the children of Israel out of Egypt and parted the Red Seas and brought them onto dry ground. The God who led them in the wilderness 40 years and the manna never went away and the quail never went away. That God that they served is the same God that I'm serving now, even in the middle of my wilderness when I can't seem to get close to Him. David is claiming God, that very same God. Oh God, Thou art my God. The God of his forefathers was the same one that he served today, even if he couldn't get close to him. David said, that God right there, the one that my grandfather served, that's the one that I served. David claimed God. But then I say this, David committed to God. Verse number 1, he said, Oh God, Thou art my God. He's established who God is, and he's established that God is his. But then he says, Early will I seek thee. David is committed to God. David's already claimed him, but now he's going to commit to Him. This claim that he's made is not one that's unfounded. It's not a claim that he's not willing to back up. He's willing to put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, and to make good on his vows. But it's not a claim where he's going to back off of. David said, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Because David understood a God as important as Elohim. David understood a God who was big enough to create the world with just the sound of his voice. And David understood a God who was big enough to part the Red Seas. And David understood that a God who was big enough to speak out of a burning bush was a God who deserved to be sought. David said, Early will I seek Thee. He's so motivated by his desire for God. He said, before anything else is done, early will I seek Thee. That word early has the idea of in the Hebrew of the sun rising, of the sun dawning. And just as consistently as that sun rose up every morning, David said, that's how consistent I'm going to be in searching You. And that's how consistent I'm going to be in looking for You. And David said, just as consistent as that sun is to come up every morning and to do it over and over and over again, to do it first before anything else happens, to turn the night into day, that's how I'm going to be seeking God. David said, a God like that deserves to be sought, even if it seems like I'm not close to Him right now. David said, Early will I seek Thee. Just as the dawning of the sun rose every morning, David is committed to seeking God first before anything else. Early will I seek thee. David said, I don't care about anything else before I speak to God. It's the most important part of my day. It's the way I'm going to start. I think about Daniel, and his Bible said they prayed at evening and morning and at noon. The first part of his day, David said, I'm committing that to God. David is committed to God. But David craved God. He said, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. David has claimed God. David has committed himself to God. But now David is beginning to tell us why it is that he's doing all these things. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David is thirsting for God. David is longing for God. That word longing is only used one time in the Bible. It's right here. It carries the idea of pining after, of wasting away, of fainting away if you don't get the sustenance that you need. Of someone who desperately is in need of food, and you can tell it on their face, and they're pining away, and they're beginning to turn pale. They're getting to the point of exhaustion and getting to the point that they're about to slip out and out of consciousness. David said, that's exactly where I am in seeking after God. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. It's not that David simply desires God. David needs God. I tell you, a good way to find God is you get to the place where you start needing Him. You don't just desire Him, but you get to a place where I have got to have Him. Lord, where are You at? If I don't get You, I'm going to thirst to death in this wilderness. God, if I don't have You, my flesh is going to long. I'm going to fall away. I'm going to faint here in the wilderness because there is no water. David not only desires God, but David needs God. David looked around at that wilderness that he was in, at the desert, at the barrenness, at the dryness of it, and David said, this is just like my relationship with God. If He don't help me, if I don't find Him, I'm going to die in this wilderness. And it's interesting to me that nothing made David stop wanting God. Because to me, if I couldn't get to Him, I think I'd give up after a while. If I wasn't where I knew God was, and if I wasn't at the tabernacle where I knew God was working, and if I wasn't at the tabernacle where I knew God was moving, I think I would eventually get disappointed. I would get distracted and turn away. If I had enemies who were on every hand trying to take my life, if I was having to fight by day and run by night and trying to find caves to sleep in, I think that probably would have distracted me and taken preeminence in my mind over seeking God. But David said, regardless of where I'm at, and David said, regardless of the enemies that rise up, the first thing I'm going to do, the most important thing I'm going to do before anything and for anybody else, I'm going to seek after God because I have to have Him. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. And I wonder what it would take to get me to stop wanting God. What would it take to get me to stop pursuing after Him, to seek after Him? Would it take a wilderness? Would it take an enemy that rose up along the way? Would it take just simply not being where He is? I don't know, but nothing is stopping David from wanting God. He said, my flesh longeth for thee. What would it take to get me to stop needing God? David, even when he couldn't get close, he never stopped wanting God. That's what David is desiring in the wilderness. But I want you to notice when we second about what David determined in the wilderness. Look at verse number 3. He's moving past his reminiscing and he's getting into present day. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. David has told us what he's already doing. He's already claiming God. He's already committing himself to God. He is already desiring God. But now David is going to begin to make up his mind about what he's going to do. Because it looks like he's going to be in the wilderness for a little while. It looks like the enemies are going to be attacking for a while longer. He's not going to be able to make it back to the tabernacle anytime soon. So David is deciding to be proactive instead of being reactive. David is going to make up his mind and begin to decide what he's going to do here in the wilderness. And David is determining, number one, to praise the Lord. You say, well, David, we just left him where he was desiring God and he was pining away and he was going to die if he didn't get a hold of God. But David has decided and David has determined some things even in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the wanderings and whatever's taking place. David's decided this, thy loving kindness is better than life. David began to look around and things haven't gotten any better. God hadn't moved any closer. The enemies are still around. But something about remembering who God was and something about remembering what God did began to swell up inside of David and something about remembering that power in the sanctuary. And David began to remember his loving kindness is better than life. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like what God is. I'm just going to praise Him no matter what changes, no matter who comes, no matter who goes, even in the middle of a wilderness. I can't find God. I don't know how to get back to Him. So I'm just going to praise Him where He's got me. Wherever he's put me, I'm just going to praise him right there. If it's in the wilderness, I'm going to praise him there. If it's on the run, I'm going to praise him there. If it's at the sanctuary, I'm going to praise him there. But regardless of what happens, if he never gets me out of the wilderness, I'm going to praise him in the wilderness. David is determined to praise him. David can't praise God for bringing him closer. He's still in the wilderness. David can't praise God for killing the enemies because they're still fighting. David can't praise God for being back at the sanctuary. So David began to look at not what was going on around him. And David began to direct his eyes upwards to exactly who God was. And he began to direct his eyes upwards to who God was and what he had done for him. And David said, I can't praise you for what you're doing here yet, but I can look up and say your loving kindness is better than life. So regardless of what happens, I'm just going to praise you for who you are, not even what you've done. David had a purpose in praise. He said, thy loving kindness is better than life. And I thought that was interesting. David was a man who knew a lot about life. David understood the brevity of life. David understood the value of life. David understood how easily a life could be taken, how easily a life could be spared. You think about it, David from a young man has been acquainted with death, killing the lion and killing the bear that were attacking the sheep. Killing Goliath with a sling and a stone. He goes on dodging the darts of Saul as he's there ministering to him. He goes on to kill his tens of thousands. All the times David has known what it was to take a life. But David was not just a murderer. David was not just a warrior. David understood the value of life because when every time Saul was brought into his hands, David would never take his life because he was anointed. David understood the value of a life. David understood he killed the men who killed Saul and killed Jonathan. You remember the man, young man brought record of it back to David. And David said, you're going to have to pay for the crime that you've committed in killing Saul. David understood the value of a life. Placed great premium on a life. But when it came to love, the loving kindness of God, he said, thy loving kindness is better than life. As much as David understood life and David understood the value of life and the brevity of life and how important life is, David said, I've not found anything in the world that could ever measure to your loving kindness. He said, your loving kindness is better than life. David had a purpose. He had a reason to praise God, even better than life itself. David found God's loving kindness to be. David had a purpose in praise. David had a plan in praise. David's not running into this haphazardly. David can't go into the temple and take his instruments, and David can't take his hymn book and all these things, but David's going to use what he's got to praise the Lord. Look at what he said in verse number 3. My lips shall praise thee. Verse number 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. David said, I've got my lips to praise you with. I've got a life to praise you with, and I've got a limbs to praise you with. I'm going to raise my hands and bless your name. And God, I can't praise you for what you're doing because you hadn't done it yet. And God, I can't praise you with everything that I'd like to, but for what you've given me, I'm going to take everything that I've got, and even here in the wilderness, if you never get me out of it. God, if I never get any closer, I'm just going to lift my hands and bless your name and praise your name no matter what happens, even in the midst of a wilderness when it seems like I just can't get close to God. David took whatever was around him. God, whatever you'll give me, I'll use it to praise you with in the middle of a wilderness. David has a place of praise. Verse number 5, he said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Verse 5 and 6 are connected. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. David is now fast-forwarding. Remember, everything he's been doing is in the future. He's talking about, I'm just making up my mind. I'm going to praise you regardless of what happens. I'm going to do it regardless if God ever gets me out of here. And now he's looking forward to another time. He's looking forward to a time of night, a time of the evening. And it's a night in which he cannot sleep. David probably knew a lot of those nights, nights when he could not sleep, tossing and turning. David said, he begins to look forward to a time when he is in his bed and unable to sleep. And David begins to think of how he is going to remember God. He said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. David's planning ahead to a time he foresees a problem in the future. I'm still going to be here in the wilderness. I'm still going to be far from God. I still can't get to where I'd like to be in the sanctuary. I'm not at home where I'd like to be. And I can see a time when trouble's going to come. Maybe the enemy is around, or maybe I just can't sleep because of the anxiety and the fear that is upon me. And David said, I can look forward to a time when I'm going to be in my bed and not able to sleep. He said, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do while I'm there. I'm just going to remember thee upon my bed. David said, I can't see you. I'm not there. I'm not close to you like I'd like to be. And I remember a time when I was. So what I'm going to do is just go back in my mind to the last time when I had you. to dwell upon the God of verse number 1, to think about that God that he's claimed and he is committed to spend time thinking upon that. But then David said this, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. That takes it a little farther. Those night watches divided the night into periods in which the guards would keep watch over the encampment by night. And it was during these times that David said, not only am I going to remember what God has done for me and who he is and where he's brought me from, but I'm going to meditate upon it. That's interesting because David is not just remembering it. David said, I'm going to spend some time on it. I'm going to spend some time dwelling upon what God has done for me, and I'm going to intentionally recall what God has done and then turn them over and over and over again in my heart until I begin, notice what he said in verse number 5, to be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My lips shall praise thee with joyful lips. It's interesting because David begins the chapter anything but satisfied. I mean, David said, my flesh longs for thee, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. David is not satisfied at all, but when he gets to verse number 5, nothing has changed. He's still in the wilderness. He's still far from God. He's still not near the tabernacle. Nothing has changed. The enemies are still there. But David, all of a sudden, instead of searching, is talking about being satisfied. And all of a sudden, instead of finding God, it seems like to me David has found something that was helping him along the way, because he said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And that word, that marrow and that fatness, we wouldn't think of it being anything special today, but that was items of luxury, and that was the highest quality that you could have. It was the richest and the choicest and the most satisfying portion of a meal. And David said, nothing has changed around me. The enemy is still there. The attackers are still around me. I'm still in the cave. I'm still far from God. But I got to thinking about what God was doing, and all of a sudden nothing's changed, but I will begin to find satisfaction deep inside, and something began to work, and God began to move in my heart even though nothing had changed around me. And David found satisfaction before he ever found the answer. So how am I going to make it when I can't seem to get close to God? Why don't you go back to the last place where he was at? Go back to the last place where he left you and begin to turn that over in your mind and to begin to pray over that and to thank God for what he's done. Probably before too long you'll say, my soul shall be satisfied. David is satisfied even though nothing has changed. He's not any closer to God. But David, God began to work in David's heart, even in the middle of the wilderness, when he began to think about what God had done for him. David had a proof of praise in verse number 7. He said, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. What David's doing has been working. The God that David has been serving has been taking care of him. The God that David claimed in verse number 1 has already brought him through the lion and through the bear and brought him through Goliath and brought him through Saul and now brought him through this. And David, it's the proof that David is here to praise God in the wilderness is proof that what he's doing is right. Because if it wasn't, God would have left him a long time ago. If what you're doing right now is wrong, God could have just turned you away years and years ago, but he's taking care of us to this point. Why would he drop us here? Why would he bring us this far to leave us in the middle of a wilderness? David is looking around and saying, man, he's been taking care of me so far. He's just going to take care of me the rest of the way. David can't find God. David's not close to God, but David is encouraged. David is satisfied and nothing has changed. But David said, thy right hand upholdeth me. David has proof what he's doing works. David determined some things in this wilderness. When David decided some things in the wilderness, verse number 8, my soul falleth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. David is deciding some things. He just decided to realize their destiny of the ones that were seeking his soul. He said, they'll go into the lower parts of the earth. They'll not overcome my God. David decided to rest in their destruction. He said, they shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Talking about how that after a battle, all that would be left would be the bones and the carcasses, and those dogs would come in and eat it and devour. And David said, that's what's going to happen to my enemies. Nothing's happening right now, but that's what's going to happen. And David said this, David rejoiced in deliverance. Verse number 11, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. David begins this psalm seeking and crying after God. David ends it satisfied and confident in that God. David begins this psalm in need, and David ends it with every need supplied. David begins this psalm, and he's searching for God. He's begging for God, and he's crying after God, and he's lonely, and he's discouraged, and he's far away from God, and it seems like God's a million miles away. And at the end of the psalm, nothing has changed but David. God hadn't changed. The enemy hadn't changed. Where he's at hasn't changed. And what the problem is? So many times we get caught up in the things that can change. We never look to the one who doesn't. David began to get his eyes off the things that change around us, and David began to look upward, and David said, well, the king shall rejoice in the Lord, and everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. David's still in the wilderness. David's still wandering. He's as far from the tabernacle and where God is as he's ever been. But David has found something in the wilderness that'll get him until he can get back. You know what we really need is not anything big, not anything grand, but just something to get us to the next place where God will be close again. And I wonder this evening maybe what it would take for David to lose his desire for God. Because I think what happens to me most of the time is this, is that I have a tendency to want to leave my Christianity at the door. Boy, we come into church on Sunday and we have a great worship service and God meets with us. But boy, come Monday, the wilderness at the job begins to creep up on me. And then all of a sudden I'm wandering through all these enemies and it seems like my flesh and the devil are beating down on me and all these different things. And it seems like God is a million miles away. I know what He did. And if I get back to church, He'll do it again. But right here, right now, I'm not going to search for Him right now. Because David is seeking for God in a wilderness place. David is seeking for God when his enemies are all around. David did not prioritize the enemies. If that had been me, all I'd have been able to do is walk around with a sword and look around, be on the lookout for whoever was coming. That's all I've been able to think about. But David said, I'm not even really worried about that. Early will I seek thee. David said, I'm going to first thing in the morning, I'm not going to look for the enemy. I'm not going to find the next place to hide. I'm going to seek you. And then I'll tell you what, at night, when I can't sleep, instead of standing guard, I'm just going to remember thee upon my bed. Meditate on thee in the night watches. We're standing all over the building tonight. I wonder if there's not some of us here where it seems like God's a million miles away. Seems like, if nothing else, that God's plan for our life has led us away. Seems like maybe that the enemies, the wilderness, whatever it may be, has pulled us away from God. And those are not bad things. This is God's plan. God was working. God was moving. But for whatever reason, David couldn't get as close to God as he wanted to be. But David found help from God in the middle of the wilderness when he began to realize the God that he was serving. He said, oh God, thou art my God. David found help when he began to just praise Him and bless Him and said, regardless if anything changes, regardless if anything moves, regardless if I get any closer to God, I'm just going to bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And David found satisfaction. Nothing changed. David was still as far as he'd ever been. But God began to help David in the wilderness. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that say, I need some help. Boy, it seems like I can't get close to Him. I need somebody to help me. Why don't you come and do business with Him tonight? He likes to work in the wilderness. He likes to work in the solitary places. He likes to work in places where it seems like He's far away. I wonder if you need to do business with Him tonight as we sing.